It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will. But then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
I don't know about this, man. Like, I just posted the podcast yesterday. It feels very weird to be recording it now. I was like, no, we just put it up. But that's because this one will sit here for 6 days. We're stealing John Oliver's bit of last week tonight. It's literally last week. No, it's not, I suppose. I don't know when people listen to our podcast or if people listen to it. That's not true. I do know because some of our listeners have popped up for their quarterly, letting us know they're still alive. But none of them wrote an email. So we're going to vamp for an hour. William, can I be honest with you for a second? I promise it won't last long.
Okay, wait a minute. Can you maybe
I don't
you
want to
can
make
not,
you uncomfortable.
Maybe you cannot be honest with me. Maybe that's what you should say. Can I not be honest with you for a little bit? Yes, by all means. Go ahead and not be honest.
I'm most of the time not honest with you, and I honestly don't care if you're cool with it or not. But that's why I feel like you're used to it at that point. So I'm like, yeah. This morning.
Okay. Fair enough.
So this came up in my head recently because I have recently been listening to a live episode of The Adventure Zone that was a one-shot. It was a prequel to an earlier campaign, and it is based on a role-playing game. The role-playing game title of which, not the game they were playing, the actual title of the game, like the system, like Dungeons & Dragons or Apocalypse World. The name of this game is Bigfoot Stole My Car and My Friend's Birthday Present Was Inside.
And okay, so, that just sounds like an excuse for not showing up with a person's present. That's what that sounds like.
Yeah. And it was a hell of a campaign. I'm not quite done with it yet. It's like I said, it's a prequel to their earlier campaign. It's really fun because Griffin McElroy is playing a fictionalized version of his 11-year-old self because it's set in 1998. And it's set in West Virginia where they lived and all this. So it's weird. But anyway, this comes up because I think it has come up before. I'm not a big cryptid guy. I'm not anti-cryptid. Cryptids are cool. Cryptids can be fun. I'm not into them super a lot. But I am finally coming to terms with myself and I need to confess to the world. Even amongst cryptids, I really kind of don't give a shit about Bigfoot.
Well, I mean, you've said this before because I am kind of into cryptids. Yeah, I am kind of into cryptids and maybe Bigfoot in particular. And since
have I said I don't give a shit about Bigfoot?
Yeah, because I've asked you about, you know, being from the Northwest and like, you know, that's Sasquatch country. So it's like, is that a big thing for you? He said, oh, no, I don't care about that at all.
Folks, when you're middle aged and maybe you do more weed gummies than you should.
Well, it could have not been on the podcast.
Sometimes you have deep personal self-realizations that it turns out you already knew and talked about before many times.
It might not have been on the podcast.
So it is a constant. No, but I genuinely thought I just came to this realization.
Oh, yeah, you told me that. Well, it's because I brought cryptids up because, like, I do like them. I think it's fun.
And some are cool, but it's. I'm confident this is a new way to describe why I feel this way.
Okay.
In my childhood, and I think in the childhood of many people roughly my age, probably not you because you're you, but amongst the rest of us, children's toys, children's cartoons, when I was a kid, it was cartoons that were children's toys, whatever. The most interesting were the villains in terms of like their power and their look and their origin and shit. Like, most of the time, our hero is a big buff dude, and maybe he's wearing armor or he has a special suit, but mostly he's just a dude, and his power is primarily being the protagonist. And meanwhile, the villains had all the cool shit, and they spit acid out of their eyeballs, and they fart nuclear bombs, and they were what happened when a trash can came to life because a rat died in it during a satanic ritual, or you know, whatever. And they're all cool and fugly and weird and interesting. And you root for the good guy, supposedly, but his whole thing is you root for him because he's good, not because he's just a dude. He's just a knight or whatever. Or a buff twink fetish model with a pageboy haircut, whatever. And in my head, and this is the thing, if you tell me which cryptid would you most want to just like hang out with, it'd be Bigfoot.
Okay.
Definitely. Bigfoot seems like a cool dude.
Okay.
Bigfoot to me is the protagonist of the cryptids. He is the good guy cryptid, in my opinion. And he's just boring. His whole deal is that he's just big. And people often don't see him. That's his whole thing. And he doesn't like do like other ones is like, oh, this one will kill you. Oh, this one sucks your goats. You know, whatever. Bigfoot is just big and shy, I guess. And it's just not compelling to me, even as a cryptid. I have trouble because a lot of the cryptids I still find a little bit boring. But he's she they it what the Sasquatch is is just sort of dull to me. I don't know. I don't and TV and movies have taught us that they are shy and lovable forest creatures, which cool. Like again, if I was gonna room with a cryptid. Probably, I don't know, Mothman probably has some good stories, but for the most part, it's probably Sasquatch, Bigfoot, the Yeti, that kind of thing, forest ape. But it's just dull. I don't know. It's
Yeah.
the least interesting of the cryptids, in my opinion.
Well, I'm not a believer, but I like the sky ghost stories. I like them. I just like stories like
Yeah,
that.
no, and I
And
get it, and I get the cryptid thing, and I'm not. I'm down for a good cryptid story. I'm down for good cryptid lore. That's fine.
but
But
I've heard some
Sasquatch does not have any good cryptid lore.
I've heard well, but I this is what I say. I've heard some stories where people are being they think they're being harassed by a Bigfoot, or they think they're being attacked or stalked by a Bigfoot, or they think a group of these
Big
creatures
feet.
are throwing rocks at their cabin and stuff like that. Some people have some pretty scary stories about them, but I hadn't heard those until actually relatively recently. So I understand exactly what you're talking about. Most of the stories I ever heard was, like you said, big and shy. That's it. Like the hippies of the cryptid world or something. And
Exactly.
but very recently I've heard some other ones. I'm like, wow, why have I never heard these scary, like Bigfoot must have a PR team or something that, hey, don't tell the bad
If
stories.
you are a Dropout.TV subscriber, which I cannot recommend more highly, it's a brilliant bit of comedy and improv streaming service. It's remarkably affordable. On the show Smarty Pants, Jacob Waisaki did give a very interesting and compelling presentation discussing which cryptid would be the chillest to blaze with, and I highly recommend you check it out. He goes a lot into the various personalities of various cryptids.
Yeah, cryptids are fun. And
Yeah.
they feature largely in Fallout 76, because oddly, West Virginia
West
seems to
Virginia
have.
is a lot of Bigfoot shit going on there.
Well, there's got Mothman in West Virginia. You've got
Jersey Devil's not far.
not
Jersey Devil's
far,
in the vicinity.
Flatwoods Monster, and I mean, just like it's not the state with the most cryptids as far as I know, but they do have a lot, and so they incorporate it into the Fallout
I
76 a
will
lot.
say, if you talk about groups of Sasquatches harassing people. Like, if we remade the movie Mean Girls and replaced all the mean girls with Sasquatches, I'd be into that. I'll admit that would be pretty cool.
Flatwoods monster is technically an alien, I think. Although I guess they don't know.
Oh, I mean, probably they don't, because not real. Hard to know. But on
Well,
another level, everyone can know, because why not?
there are.
Maybe it's a cryptid from another planet. Maybe it's from another planet, but on the other planet, it was a cryptid.
Yeah. Well, there are some people who think
Like
that
there are two
cryptids.
planets who don't believe it exists.
Cryptids, the reason they're so elusive is because
You
they're
were going to say
all.
cryptic. I saw you. Your brain thought cryptic, and you're like, I can't use that word. I have to
No,
do a
I
different word.
don't think I did. I think I was
That's
looking
what
for
your
that.
face said.
I think the word elusive was eluding me. The reason they're that
Now
way
you
is
just made it bad. Now
because
you just went and did it anyway.
they're extra dimensional. Or something like they can hide in other dimensions and stuff.
No. I know what you're talking about, but it's not extra dimensional. It's imaginary, fictional. That's why they're hard to
It
find.
would put them actually in the same category probably as aliens. So it's like you can call aliens cryptids or you can call Sasquatches aliens in a way. I don't know. Ultra dimensional, maybe that's the word. I don't remember now.
Ultra dimensional.
Yeah, ultra dimensional.
That's
Yeah.
nice. That's the more expensive model. You can buy regular strength cryptid or ultra dimensional cryptid.
It's an
Oh,
interesting
that's a
community too,
good
the people that believe
episode
in these
title.
things
I'll
and like
bet it is.
yeah.
I'll bet it fucking is.
It is.
I'll bet those are some of the most interesting goddamn people on the planet
Yeah,
there.
with an interesting hairdo, yeah.
Oh my.
They are.
Yeah, I've
They're
seen that Ancient
interesting.
Aliens, dude. It's like that.
Oh,
Very interesting. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Magic Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that technically I think falls under the category of comedic horror movie video game therapy. And I think we're the only podcast in that particular niche. That being said, we are just two white guys talking about whatever we want, and that's a very broad genre. So I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 706.
706. What are we even doing with our lives?
I don't know.
Yeah, we got a lot of activity recently on the blog. You should go to the blog. If you saw that William was thinking the word cryptic for cryptic cryptids, go to the blog, themagictalkinghead.com, and agree with me, because I love when people do that. Here's the deal. We have a hat. It's magic in that it has its own email address, themagictalkinghead@gmail.com. People sometimes, if they feel like it, email us with whatever the crap they want, and the hat magically, all on its own, forwards us the email. We read them on the air, we talk about them till we're bored, and that's the show. But like I said, when it's not, we're just chilling. So, how's your yesterday? Now, God, this is rough. Okay, so sorry, I'm getting a call from potential spam. I'm tempted to answer it on the air. I've done that before, but I don't think it's a compelling podcast. So, all right. Last time we recorded on Friday, so it has been a week.
Yeah.
How has your week been?
I'd say it's been pretty good. It's interesting you bring up cryptids because Iowa has a cryptid that's sort of gained some fame in the last couple decades. It's often called the Van Meter Visitor. It's a winged cryptid that bothered Van Meter, Iowa.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Corn Squatch.
No. Corn
Corn
squatch.
Squatch, the famous Iowa cryptid. Half Bigfoot, half corn. Corn Squatch.
This is a winged
That's
cryptid.
also a good title. We gotta save these titles.
It supposedly has, a horn in the middle of its head with a light. Anyway, when it
Wait, are you thinking of a flying purple people eater?
No. This happened in 1903, and in Van Meter, Iowa, which is just west of Des Moines. And they have a festival. They started having a festival. I don't remember when they started, but this year it's on the 28th of September, so it's not very far away. We don't typically get to go because my sister's birthday's around that time, and we're usually, you know, going to celebrate her birthday because that's obviously more important. But if
she decided she doesn't want you there,
no, we probably, again, we're gonna be celebrating my sister's birthday, but we would totally go to that. And that's a thing that, like, people from, you know, people who are cryptid fans from all over the country come to this in Van Meter, and that's just a couple weeks. But
I would be interested in going to such a thing. I do not think I would go to such a thing because I would worry I would accidentally disrespect. Like, that's a big thing to the people who are into that, whether they believe in it or not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I would try my best, but I there might just be a laugh or an eye roll at the wrong time. And it feels like a thing that I could potentially inadvertently ruin for other people for whom it is a much bigger deal.
Yeah,
and
I see what you're saying.
Them. Also, I don't like going to places.
But so this past week, or did I talk about Long Legs at all? Did I say that I saw that?
No, you have seen Long Legs.
Uh-huh.
How'd you manage that?
I don't know. Is it on Shudder or whatever?
No, I mean, did you pay $20 to rent it?
Oh. That's a good question. No, that's a good question. I think we did pay to watch.
That is a good question that I'm weirded out you don't know the answer to.
Well, I mean, I
I just woke up and it was on the TV.
Well, it's because Abby handles that. Like, if you're gonna, okay. You know, sometimes I don't even know that that's what happened. Like, oh, we paid for that. it's like that.
Those when they first come out that you can get, mm-hmm. they're always $20, mm-hmm. and very seldom am I willing to pay that. Everything Everywhere All at Once is the only version I can think of where I did that.
We are too, but we go.
I'm very excited for Long Legs. When it gets down to like $5.99, I'm there.
We don't go to the theater as often, and you know we would easily go there and spend that much. So it's like sometimes we'll go, yeah, let's just make this like a theater night, whatever, and actually pay for something. And I think that's what happened this time.
And?
It didn't do it for me, really.
Oh, that's a shame.
And it's the kind of thing that I would have, you know, it's not like, oh, this wasn't for me, or, you know, this isn't the kind of thing I usually like. No, this is the kind of thing I would usually like. I'm glad I saw it. Just to see Nicolas Cage doing what he was doing.
In the freaky makeup. I actually finally, as much as I've tried to avoid spoilers and most of the internet has been good about that, I did get a shot of Nick Cage in the makeup and I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. It starts really good. Like, the very beginning of it's like, all right, this is going to be good. And you're watching it. And there's lots of great moments in it. But I mean, as a whole, by the time it was over, I was like, I think my expectations were just a little too high, but I wouldn't discourage people from watching it. What you're doing, waiting, you know, for it to be a little cheaper or whatever, is probably smart.
And it often comes out as basically free that way. Cause we frequently, if we order things from Amazon, don't care about them showing up earlier, and Amazon will often give you digital credit.
Mm.
If you do that, so we get a lot of free digital credit to rent stuff.
But I mean, we weren't sorry we watched it or anything like that. Yeah. It's not like that at all. It's just I think we both realized that at the end, it's like, oh, we really thought this was, you know, going to be like this, and what didn't quite hit that mark. But we do enjoy. I mean, even when we see something that we don't think is very good, or we think even that Nicolas Cage made some bold but choices that didn't work, we still like watching it. You know what I mean? Does that make any sense? It's like we just like
That
watching him
being
do his
said,
thing.
I'm nervous about watching a movie I've seen called Jiu-Jitsu that has Nick Cage in it. I've watched some trailers from it and stuff. It looks real bad. And again, it's one of the, I mean, I think he is a predominant character, but I don't think he's the main character. So,
I mean, he like
but
produced this
nowadays, I'm
though.
kind of latch on to him wherever I see him because I'm never going to have a bad time.
Yeah, that's kind of that's what I'm saying.
It's Nick Cage is live theater. When he's good, he's great. And when he's bad, he's arguably better
Well,
in terms of
so
how entertaining he is.
he produced this, I think.
Oh,
Like this is a one of his own projects,
that's
I'm
a
pretty sure.
pretty big feather in his cap because it has garnered a lot of critical appraise or praise, not appraise. The critical appraisal was full of praise.
Yeah, I mean the Rotten Tomatoes score is like 85%, and
Yeah,
yeah.
no, people love
So again, if I wouldn't, I would not discourage anyone from seeing it. It just for some now, it also could be the kind of film where it's expectations. I always say that if we watched a second time, we'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, that's better than I remember. That happens to us all the time, and
it. And
we've
yeah,
mentioned.
sometimes it's sort of going in trying to understand what it is. I will be discussing that at length later in this episode, actually.
So, but we also saw, oh, I wanted to make sure. I'm pretty sure he's a producer on this, and this was one of his projects, which we were really impressed with that because I don't know how often he does that. Do you? Is he?
Yeah, in my mind he does. Like I can't tell you another one where he did.
Well, anyway, I was going to verify that, and I can't find a good link for that. But anyway, so the other thing I
Oh,
saw was called
verifying type podcast.
The Wind, and it was directed by the woman who directed Five Nights at Freddy's or whatever.
Oh.
I can't remember her name either. And we saw Five Nights at Freddy's, even though that like we didn't hadn't planned on watching it. It's not the kind of thing that we would think we would watch or like. I don't remember why we watched it, but we went ahead and watched it, and it was actually okay. It's like, oh, all right, yeah, this is like this is. I mean, it wasn't our kind of thing, like genre-wise, I suppose, but it was actually pretty good. So this movie called The Wind, which is it's one of those you've probably seen them before, where the horror element is like it's in the 1900s, early 1900s, say, well, maybe not early, maybe mid 1900s, and people are white people are moving west and they're living out all alone under these vast expanses of land, that with scrub grass and it's arid, and the creepy factor is you're all alone out there, and you just basically hear the wind blowing and creeps you out and stuff, especially if you move there from the city, which our people did. I've seen other movies like this.
Is it a prequel to The Happening?
But it's I think it's really well told and really well made. And if you did grow up in the rural situation like I did, I think they do a good job of capturing how it can be kind of creepy out there in the country when everyone's far away, and you're just constantly hearing the wind and your house settling and maybe critters in your wall and stuff like that. And it can creep you out a little bit. So I responded really well to this one. I mean,
I think I
not
haven't heard of
super
this
well.
one. Yeah, interesting.
Well, again, this I wish I could remember this woman's name. But did you see Five Nights at Freddy's or? Okay. Well, it was whatever else you think of it, it was competently directed, and I thought this was very competently directed too.
I don't think if somebody was like, "You want to watch Five Nights at Freddy's?" I would have a problem with that, or that I would not enjoy it. I have no impetus to do it. Weirdly, there was a time where I got a little into the Five Nights at Freddy's lore because it is kind of interesting, but not enough that like I've seen a lot of for lack of a better term, think pieces on the movie. And I don't find the story in the movie very interesting.
Well, the gimmick for the video game was actually pretty clever. We never played it, but it's like, that's clever.
Well, and that's the thing. It's just designed for jump scares. I was never going to play any. Well, when you say video game, there have been like 9 of them. There have been several sequels and a lot of spin-offs and different platforms. And there's been a ton of Five Nights at Freddy's games and books. There's a bunch of novels.
Really?
It's a thing. Five Nights at Freddy's is a thing. There's music. There's all sorts of shit. It's a whole new world. But this begs the important question. Why have you not combined the two? Five Nights at Freddy's and Nick Cage. Because there is such a movie.
What's exists. That?
It's called Willy's Wonderland. Came out before Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't seen because it.
Because nobody's making it. And it's apparently largely dialogue-free. And Nick Cage is like a janitor at essentially a Freddy Fazbear, but like knockoff Freddy Fazbear. And he just has to like beat the shit out of murderous animatronics for 90 minutes or whatever.
Oh, you know, I have heard of that one.
I haven't watched that one as much as I want to because I am always turned off when I hear that there's very little dialogue.
Oh.
Like, that doesn't appeal to me. And I've seen some movies where that was true, and it's great. But that's a hurdle for me. When I hear that, my brain is like, that doesn't sound interesting. Especially because I'm all about the story and the lore of a particular film. And I'm like, it's hard to do that with no words. But I've heard it's a good time, and I may watch it one of these days.
Yeah, maybe we'll watch that one. Crazy. Well, but it's like I said, we wouldn't have seen Five Nights at Freddy's, like, unless I think someone must have suggested it, or the kids might have been over and wanted to watch it or something. I don't remember now. And again, it's not like, oh, that was great, or let's, you know, I'm going to watch that again. It was, well, this was actually very competently put together. And I didn't know, I like that kind of story, so I wanted to see it anyway. But then I found out that this same woman directed it, and she did a really great job. So,
because Golden Freddy shows up at the end of The Wind, and you're like, what the fuck?
It just, I felt like the person who directed it understood the sort of inherent creepiness of living in a place like that. And it's weird for me to say that because
we all understand the inherent creepiness of living in a place like Notre Dame. We are.
It's weird to say because, you know, most people who are from rural areas and grow up in rural areas sometimes can't relate when someone who's from, you know, someplace else, they come like they'll Airbnb a house out in the country or whatever, and they'll hate it because it's like, first of all, not only is they don't have the noises they're used to, but they have new noises that they're paying attention to that freak them out. And when you grow up in that environment, it doesn't freak you out because you grew up in it. But I would argue that it did freak you out once. Like when you were little, it probably freaked you out a little bit until you got used to it. And if you remember that, then you can relate to other people being freaked out by it, even though you're not anymore, if that makes any sense. So yeah, I thought the movie was really good and really captured that, how it can be a little scary to.
It sounds a little folk horror adjacent, which is.
Yeah, right. I think I've been searching for that in my head. Like, it is kind of folk horror adjacent. And again, I've seen other ones like it that I thought also did an okay job, but this I thought did a really good job.
Folk horror is a genre that I think I should like, but in practical application, I often don't. But I'll still watch them. And Trish really digs them. So
yeah, I kind of like them too.
Trish has been ruminating recently on the fact that she's gotten way into horror movies. Like, that is the kind of movie we most watch all year round, I would say. And she frequently gets to pick. I'll be like, you want to watch a movie? She's like, yeah. I'm like, what kind of movie? That's how we frequently do it. Because we have a whole list of different ones. I'm like, well, what sort do you want? And she frequently is like, let's do a scary movie. And she was kind of surprised herself because a few years ago, she didn't go near that kind of thing. Just wasn't interested. And I think because I have forced her to watch a lot of them, she has learned that like it's a very broad and diverse genre.
Right.
And she has learned like, oh, these kinds of horror movies I really like, these kinds, or even this kind I don't like can sometimes be good, and
Yeah, right. Yep.
things like that.
That's what I've learned too. I mean, I've been, it's a similar thing with Abby and I too, because she's always liked that kind of stuff. And I, not so much. Not that they bothered me or scared me or anything. I just found them so
Yeah,
uncompelling
no,
and uninteresting.
I still know people that they're like, no, it's just gross and
Yeah,
mean,
yeah,
and
yeah.
and
But
I'm
I,
like,
but
I
like,
get that, but it's also a lot more than that.
yeah. And what I discovered for me personally was that, there are philosophical, for lack of a better term, things that I like to think about and talk about and stuff. And when that kind of thing shows up in a movie, it's very frequently a horror movie, right? So it's like, oh,
Yeah.
okay. Well, it's,
That's,
yeah.
and I've said this before, and people get you conflate it a little bit, but I like the transgressive nature of horror film, and I mean that in some ways of it'll go places that are fucked up that other people won't, and sometimes that's a catharsis I want or whatever. Often not, but also it'll just tackle subjects or give a realism to subjects sometimes that other things won't. Which I can enjoy. It can get too real. This is me, of course, if it gets too real, but like just concepts that you're like, they'd only try that in a horror movie.
Yeah. Well, I wonder how, if it's
And
connected at all.
often deep lore and interesting stories that are complex, and I really like getting behind the scenes of what's happening. Why was the Ouija board possessed? You know, that kind of.
Yeah, I mean that stuff like that. I just realized that they could be far more cerebral, not just than I thought a horror movie could be, but more cerebral than I thought a movie could be. And I wonder if there's any connection there with like another thing that Abby helped me see was how often like heavy metal bands and music is like deeply existential and stuff like that. It's like I've probably seen deep
And
philosophical themes in metal lyrics
deeply
more than any other.
music,
What's that?
deeply musical, deeply the technique. I got into metal mostly because an ex of mine forced me to listen to some Metallica that was using orchestral backing, and I was like, this is way more technically impressive than I gave metal credit for,
Yeah, me
because
too.
I'm used to just 80s hair metal, which is just three chords and a lot of yelling, and pelvises, a lot of pelvis bits. But
So like she helped me see that, horror, metal, a lot of things that I kind of wrote off. It's like, oh wow, there's more interesting things going on here than I realized. I mean, so yeah, and it turns out that if we take her, taste in these things and my taste in these things, there's a lot of overlap. So there's a lot of things we can enjoy together, and there's some things that she likes that I don't like. But yeah, it's been an interesting journey for the last, couple decades of sort of seeing things through her eyes and realizing, oh, I should have given that more of a look the first time.
well, we're also living in the era of the elevated horror movie, which does some neat stuff, which is, we need to give credit. There are a lot of movies from the past that we would call elevated horror now. Candyman is a great example. Candyman is a hell of a deep, socially conscious, metaphoric film that has a lot to say about society. And we sort of, I don't want to say people didn't know at the time because I wasn't paying attention, and I don't want to speak that way on behalf of it, but we didn't talk about it. We didn't talk about Candyman that way. And the sequels showed that we clearly didn't understand that. The second and third one, from what I gathered, are just straight up sort of horror. But and these exist in the past, and but we're in a time now where it's really a thing, where like this horror movie is really about this,
Well, but
and
we media
we can even look back on older ones and realize that's what was going on.
sure. And but media is so much more accessible too, right? I mean, it's hard for people,
Very true.
to remember what it's like for you and me, where it's like, if you wanted to see something just a second time, it had to be in the theater and you had to be able to go, or it had to be on tape. or you had to wait for rerun season if it's a TV show. You know,
Oh no, you can't.
now you can watch, you know, especially if you're willing to pay for it a little bit, you can have just about anything right now, or you can look it up on Wiki or whatever else and read everything you want to about it. So,
Which I do
I mean,
that's how well it's part of how we know all about Trap, the new Shyamalan movie,
oh yeah. Yeah.
which I now have read because Trish was fascinated when the trailers came out, as was everybody, because it was like it's Shyamalan and they seem to give away the twist in the trailer, but maybe there's another. And so like when it finally came out, she's like, you got to go find because I know the places where I can find detailed synopses. She's like, go find it now and read it to me. And so we did that. And then I later watched the Amanda the Jedi take on it. And I think I want to see it now. I think it's going to be hilarious. It does not sound like it is a good film or a film that makes sense. But I think it's hilarious. And so I think I might have to check that out. I do that with a lot of very few Shyamalan movies do I want to see, but I always want to read up on what the plots were.
But I mean, it's, you know, you and I can both think back to a time where we couldn't do that. That
Yes.
wasn't, we didn't even imagine that option really so much. And it's like a whole different thing now. Whole different
It's
thing.
the old Chuck and Beans cartoon. They're sitting there, it's his life before Google, and one of them says, I just thought of something I'd like to know more about. And the other one says, that's a damn shame.
I mean, there were ways, but I mean,
Eat libraries, whatever.
yeah.
Book
Yeah.
learnings.
Anyway, once again, I've taken up too much time. How was your week?
We don't got no emails, so.
No, we don't.
Oh, it's fine. I had no another colonoscopy just for fun. No, I'm kidding. Not a lot interesting particularly has happened. I did watch some movies, but finally getting some more. I'm still playing a shit ton of Balatro. I'm playing it on the Switch now because I loaded the Switch up with games because I'm going to take that with me to Oregon. And so I got Balatro on there originally, but I liked it so much I got it on Xbox. But I've been playing it on the Switch because I've also been playing the other two, and I got Hades on the Switch, which I haven't played too much of yet, but that's kind of fun. It's a roguelike thing, and the whole idea is you're the son of Hades and you're trying to leave the underworld, but you have to like fight your way out and die a lot. And it's built into the story that you because you can't die. You're the son of Hades. So when you get killed, you just end up back at home. And so all the characters you talk to, and there's lots of this character, there's other gods, there's heroes, there's your actual dad. There's like a lot of family drama and stuff, and it's conversations that go on and change as you keep iterating. And so that's kind of fun. And I played it just enough to sort of get a hand on it. I haven't played too much more. I have now started in earnest Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Oh.
I am overwhelmed.
In a good way or a bad way, or
Bad way, pretty much.
huh.
I'm just very intimidated. It's a crazy open world, like open. And that things aren't like leveled. So it's not like this is the area you should go until you're stronger and go here. Things aren't leveled. It's just the world. And you deal with what you deal with. There's definitely scarier things and less scary things, and they probably are sort of, but there's no obvious answer. The world is open enough that once you finish the sort of tutorial area, you can go try and fight the end boss immediately.
Whoa,
It would be extremely hard, but you could do it. There's nothing to stop at any time. You could just go to the castle where the bad guy is, try and kill him. It's super hard. Like there are major quests that will like drastically decrease his power, and he'll still be tough at the end. But if you were badass enough, and people have, like it's a speedrunner's paradise, people will go and just immediately fuck him up. The opening area was also very hard because you haven't unlocked a lot of the abilities and things yet. I didn't know how to like cook food to heal me and stuff like that. And so the very opening was very difficult in that way. Now it's starting to sort of fit, but it's just so open and so big. And there's no leveling, there's no experience. There's just hundreds of these puzzle shrines throughout the world. And when you complete one, you get a little thing. And if you get enough things, you can increase your hit points. They're hearts. In Zelda, you just have hearts. And different things will hit you. And you can get a new heart if you have enough of these things from all of these shrines. And theoretically, you earn money, you get better gear, whatever. But there's no like leveling system per se. And you don't, as near as I can tell, you got a lot of abilities in the beginning to help you mostly with puzzles and things. And I did eventually learn some more advanced ways of doing combat, although I find them very tricky. The combat's very is real time, and I'm not good at that. So yeah, it's just a lot, and it's hard. I will play more, and I don't dislike it, but I'm just very overwhelmed and intimidated. It's too open. I've got quests and things, but I very much get the sense like, you know, I need to get a little stronger before I'm just heading off across the world to the new quest or whatever. So
So, or have you played Zelda throughout your life and stuff? Is that?
minimally, and that's part of the problem. I think I would do much better if I didn't. I played the original because I owned an NES. And when we got the GameCube, I got the Wind Waker. And I did not play very long because I was very bad at the combat. And that was sort of what put me off of this, is I'm like, I'm not good at Zelda's real-time combat. But it was just such a game changer, and everybody talks about it all the time. And I finally was like, you know what? I need a game that I might sink some time into because we're going to be in Oregon for a while. Why don't I just grab it? It's time. I'm good. We'll see how that goes. But don't want to talk about any of that. Why did you even ask? So rude. I want to talk about the movies I've seen.
Okay.
I've seen three movies. Guess them. No, I'm kidding. That's the rest of the podcast. Just name movies. See, it's really funny because one of them's from the 90s, so I don't think you'd have a good time guessing that one. We finally saw Senior, or for those of you who are very visual learners, SR period. It is a documentary on Netflix about, well, here's the thing. It's a documentary about Robert Downey Sr. But also Robert Downey Jr. It is the intention, I believe, was Robert Downey Jr. wanted to make a documentary about his father. His father, for the record, Robert Downey Sr., and I didn't know this until relatively recently, is an acclaimed sort of alternative filmmaker. Been around for years and years and years, and made all sorts of shit. Very, very John Watersy. He made like crazy shit with like weird social commentary and things like that. And he occasionally broke in to mainstream film, but only for a little while. And he kind of didn't like it because he had to change things. But like, he's one of those, you know, like when you famous musicians have a band that they really like, but like people who aren't famous musicians don't know that band. Sparks plugs. That's what I'm saying. He's that sort of. He seems to be like the filmmaker's filmmaker. And so I think Robert Downey Jr. wanted to make a documentary about his father. But to get his dad to agree, he got his dad on board by telling his dad he could make a movie. And Robert Downey Jr.'s thing is he's making a making of that movie. And what you actually get is sort of a combination, and they sort of tell you when it's footage, and some of it, because he just gives him a camera guy, an editor, and lets his dad just do whatever the fuck he wants. And like, he's not even there sometimes because, you know, Robert Downey Jr. mostly lives in LA and his dad's in New York and else. And so you'll just get bits where his dad's just like, oh, good shots of that, and you see him with the producer editing and stuff. It was interesting. It's a good time. You don't learn a ton about Robert Downey Jr. I guess you sort of learn a lot about the family in a way. The whole thing feels a little, I don't want to say pretentious. It's almost as though late in life, the father and son have some unresolved issues. And they decided to try and explore that as a movie to put on Netflix. which to me is such a swollen head thing. But in the movie, you kind of get that maybe just sort of how the family works, that they just sort of have to deal with things via performing in a way. It's weird. I don't know. It is interesting. Just check it out. It's all in black and white for no reason. Getting a lot of that lately. I am not. I will not avoid a movie because it's in black and white. And some movies in black and white are really compelling. I feel like 80 to 90% of the movies that are done in black and white were done in black and white for absolutely no goddamn reason, other than people thought it looked cool and arty. So,
Yeah.
and this one, I've got some of that. I'm like, eh, I don't really know why the fuck it's in black and white. Anyway, that's not the one I want to talk about. This one's also not the one I want to talk about. We saw The Fall Guy.
Oh.
Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt,
Yeah.
revisiting the 1980s television show starring Lee Majors and Heather Thomas.
Did you watch the original TV show? I did.
A little bit. I was a little young, and I was more bionic, I was more $6 Million Man.
Okay.
Like, I was big Lee Majors. And so I think I watched it sometime because I'm like, oh, it's $6 Million Man, but he's in a different thing. And you know, around the same time, if A-Team wasn't on, I was probably watching that. But not a ton of Fall Guy, no.
Okay.
But enough that I was somewhat familiar. It's on Peacock. And actually, originally, it's just over 2 hours, but they also have the extended cut that's 2.5 hours. And originally, I thought that was the only option we had available. And then when we decided we were going to watch it, I saw the original and I was like, this movie didn't do real well. And it's an action comedy about a stunt guy. I probably don't need the 2.5 hour version. So we just went with the 2 hour and 6 minute version. Come on, you gotta ask me. I've got the sound bite here, so you gotta ask me to
How
send me
was
over.
it?
It was, to me, some really good and creative and entertaining action sequences that did a really good job of balancing VFX and practical effects in really cool and inventive ways. All wrapped in comfortably one of the worst films I have seen in a long time. And I think, at least for me, a career worst performance from both Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling. Not least of which is they're supposed to have a romance thing going, and for reasons I don't understand, they have zero chemistry. Just from jump, from the initial scene of the movie, they have no chemistry, and I don't understand it. I don't know what happened, but it's a really bad movie, other than some really cool acts. There are moments. Stephanie Soo is in it, and she's the delight, but she has a relatively small part. Hannah Waddingham is in it, and she, of course, elevates it in moments to being hilarious. But by and large, she's very poorly utilized, and it's I a lot of this because I know these. I'm a fan of Emily Blunt. I'm a fan of Ryan Gosling. I'm a huge fan of Hannah Waddingham and Stephanie Soo and the M'Baku from Black Panther. Shit. Winston Duke? Is that his name? Umbagu, the head of the monkey tribe in Black Panther, is in this. And he's great too, and I love him. So I'm a huge fan of these people, and they did such a terrible job. And I think a lot of the issue has to lie at the feet of the script. Because it was just dumb, and it has that. It has that the version of self-aware funny that is bad, where you're like, look at how dumb we are. Isn't that funny? It's like that, kind of. It's hard to explain because I want to say usually that's the joke is that we didn't try very hard. And I don't know that I don't think people tried hard on this. But I just don't, I don't know. It was just real, but the action was amazing. And the soundtrack was very interesting. A lot of different versions of oh, what's the Kiss song? Oh crap, I don't know. A very famous Kiss song is in this, and there's several like covers of it and things. It's really weird. And it's an interesting bit of like old school music and new school music, and that's kind of fun. It is very much attempting to shed a light on something that I think is very important as well, which is that stunt people are a huge part of the film industry and get fucked over in sort of every single way possible. They are not remotely paid well enough to consider the fact that their career could end at any moment forever, and how dangerous the job is. There is no particular recognition for stuntmen, like there's no awards for stunt people. And yeah, it's stunt people are absolutely the unsung heroes and always have been of the film industry. And actually there's a song at the end that's it's a song about stunt people and how unappreciated they are. And it has a little spoken word section in it where it points out that the first stuntmen were also the first film directors. Keaton, Chaplin, Lloyd all did crazy stunts and in the films that they made. And so I like that it's approaching that. But yeah, I don't. Trish didn't dislike it as much as me. She didn't like it. But she didn't dislike it as much as me. I was like, the action sequence are pretty, some of them are really cool. Some of them are really involved. Some of them are just really creative. There's one where a character gets drugged. And they figure it out, and so there's an action scene, but it's sort of psychedelic because they're hallucinating, and in very cool ways. Like every time they punch someone, like these light sparkles come out. And it's still a fast-paced action scene, but it has this stuff in it, and that's kind of cool. And some comedic action beats that are fun, moments that are great. But in general, yeah, no, just awful, awful.
It sounds like an idea that had a lot of like scene ideas, but not any story ideas.
I would not be surprised to learn that this movie was made by committee pretty hard. And it's, which is a problem because it's also a movie nobody fucking asked for. Nobody's like, we need a Fall Guy movie. Nobody wanted that. Now, that being said, that doesn't mean you shouldn't make it because you can make a really good one. But you got to make sure you make a really good one because no one's asking for it. You can make a generic by the numbers studio led film that people want to see or that you think people want to see. But nobody wanted to see a Fall Guy movie. So it needs to be really good. So then people will want to go see your movie. And it didn't, and I feel bad because I love these actors so much. These were such terrible performances. I don't know what happened.
I mean, you can imagine someone thinking that, well, look at the Mission Impossible movies and things like that. It's like these are just big stunt extravaganzas, right? So, it's the Fall Guy, people are nostalgic. So how about a Fall Guy show and we have stunts like that in it? You can imagine the idea just starting there with no story idea or
But
anything, just
let's make
that.
it a real dumb comedy.
Well, that's where it goes bad, right? It's like when that idea, just as I stated it, sounds like a good way to start a conversation about such a movie, but you got to keep going a long way before you say, all right, well, this is a movie, right? And it seems like someone skipped
And
that phase or something.
for a premise like this, you don't even have to be good. Like, here's what you do. You give me those good action scenes, and you wrap it in a terrible movie that takes itself super seriously, and I'm gonna be entertained as all hell. Like, I don't think this is what they were going for, but it's the old thing of you can't make so bad it's good on purpose.
Yeah,
And I don't
yeah.
think that's exactly what they were going for, but they were going for like dumb comedy. And so it's dumb. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's another one of those where you're like, no, I wasn't in the right headspace, but it just, no, it really didn't hit. Except the action was awesome. But I didn't want to talk about that one either. Stop asking. I want to talk about the other movie that we saw. And it's a movie that has been in the back of my brain for a while that maybe I should see it. It's one of those that various algorithms are like, you want to watch this? And I was like, yeah. And then Mildred themselves from Scaredy Cats, the YouTube channel Scaredy Cats, did a review of this movie. This movie is from, I want to say, 1994. It is an Italian-French co-production starring Rupert Everett and no one else you've ever heard of, called, well, originally called Della Morte, Della More, but in the US, generally called Cemetery Men. I really liked it. I cannot tell you if you or any other human being would like or dislike it. It is batshit. On its surface, it is a black comedy in which Rupert, a young Rupert Everett, plays the titular Francisco Della Morte, who is the cemetery keeper in a small Italian town. In this cemetery, periodically, the dead come back. And he just has to shoot him and rebury him. You shoot him through the head, rebury him. That's basically the premise. And there basically is a plot, but it's meaningless. The movie is, there are important things. I almost would say before anybody, I think I would recommend this movie to just about anybody who likes horror films or whatever. But I would recommend watching the Scaredy Cats video about it first, because you really have to go into this understanding what is going on. This movie is the ultimate unreliable narrator film. Our protagonist is an absolute narcissistic asshole, and it is all from his perspective, including some voiceover narration. And you should not believe any of it necessarily happens. A lot of fucked up stuff happens in this movie to him, by him, around him, because of him. And it is impossible to tell what did or did not happen. And you need to, the movie is not explicit about this, but you have to go in understanding some definitely and all maybe of this movie didn't happen this way, even within the fiction. The guy is awful. The guy is very clearly sort of an incel vibe. He's very obsessed with, in fact, he's obsessed with various women throughout the movie, and they're all played by the same actress very intentionally. And we don't acknowledge that fact, but it's the same actress in the that. There are other female characters, but the ones that like he ha tries to have a romance with or falls in love with or whatever are all played by the same actor. And he's, what the hell was that sound? You got a dog over there?
No, Abby sneezed.
Oh, that was a sneeze. Okay, it sounded like I am. Bless you.
It was an attempt not to make any noise sneezing.
It didn't work. It came out the back of my head. Bless you.
He says, "Bless you." He's saying it really loud, so you could hear it over my earphones, but you can't hear it over my earphones. So I'm
Bless
saying, "Bless you."
But it is an absolutely bizarre movie dealing with some really fucked up shit, and it is very much in that re realm of it is a schlocky genre film that is also very seriously trying to be a very arty film. and it could easily put people off from either camp. It is a gorgeous film. The sets, the shots, the designs, it is done, every single frame of this film was filmed so deliberately, and it's amazing. But it has shit like our hero going to a doctor to get his dick cut off for the woman he loves, or him having a couple conversations with the Grim Reaper that prompt him to just go kill a bunch of people in the town, except maybe it was a dream, except maybe it wasn't, because those people are actually dead. It involves his assistant who can't speak and just says half of his name. His name is Nyagi, and he can only say Nya for some reason. He's like a Pokemon that way. And it involves him getting very excited when meeting a woman. And or not a very young one, like a teenager, I think. So excited that he throws up on her, and she's somehow cool with that. And then later in the movie, she dies, and he digs up her head, and the two of them fall in love and want to get married, the head and the guy who can only say yeah. It involves a woman who's scared of penises, but then gets raped, and then decides she likes it and marries her rapist. But again, this is all filtered through him. Like, I don't think any of this happened. Especially that one. That one is a very big, it's like, no, this dude got rejected by this woman, and so he has made up the story in his head for why it happened. Like, bizarre, fucked up shit happens. But, like, none of it's real. And it's the whole movie's a vibe, and it's not. And it is kind of funny. It's a comedy. It's definitely a black comedy. I enjoy it. It's a hell of a trip. It's and you know me, I don't like the nasty, nasty, nasty shit. It's not none of it. I mean, nothing is that we don't see. There's no rape scene or anything like that. It definitely has some gore in places and stuff, but and it is. Beautiful. The sets are amazing. The shots are it's gorgeous. The music is pretty crap. It's kind of surprisingly crap. The music is very much low budget direct to video horror movie music done on a single synthesizer keyboard kind of vibe. And it just is very out of place in this film. That's kind of a bummer. But I would not recommend people see this movie. I would recommend people go to the Scaredy Cats YouTube channel and watch the most recent video that is about this, and there it is listed as Della Morte, Della More. It is in English, by the way, so don't if that's a problem for you. There's no subtitles or anything. It's in English, and I really enjoyed it. But it's like I would recommend you go check out that video, and then decide if you want to see it because it's what convinced me. And in fact, I made Trish watch the video and said, "Is this a movie you want to see, or should I watch it without you?" And she said, "Sure." And so we watched it. And she was like, "I don't know how I felt about it for sure." And she was like, I guess I wasn't." It turned out she was a little bothered by certain bits that she's like, "Did that happen?" And I was like, "You've forgotten the video." So I made her watch the video again. And afterwards, she's like, "Yeah, no, I guess I get it now." I was, you really have to go into it of like. Potentially none of it has happened. And the ending, I'm mostly just quoting things that Mildred said in the Scaredy Cats video because he was so on point with this. But the ending is very seriously, obviously telegraphed and foreshadowed way in advance, and still somehow seems to come out of absolutely fucking nowhere. And I have spent days thinking about it. I literally woke up the next morning and was like, I have had two theories about what that ending meant, and I have already rejected both of them. Let me tell you about them. And so I told Trish, and then she had a theory going, and I'm like, I like that theory too. That's a good one. It could be that. It's a real crazy ending. But again, a real crazy ending that you sort of see coming. It's a funky movie. was really is a very is a vibe, and is I laughed quite a bit, and it's real amazing to look at, and I love Rupert Everett, and I don't see enough Rupert Everett because he's mostly just in rom-coms a lot of times. He's actually in She Will. A much older Rupert Everett plays a character in She Will that we talked about last time. It's marvelous. It's not a big part, but I love it. He's chewing the fuck out of the scenery. It's real fun. But that's the thing too, because it's Rupert Everett with abs. And like early on in the movie, you see him without his shirt and he's super hot. And it's also like, is he though? Does he see himself this way? Or is he actually? Because he's a grave digger, which means, I mean, he's a seven, he does a lot of grave digging, so he should have muscles, but he shouldn't have like no body fat and abs from just being a grave digger. And so there's that kind of thing, and like, does the assistant even sort of exist? You know, it's such a weird movie, and none of the conventions in it are consistent. The nature by which the people come back from the dead and are put back down changes, and it's not mentioned. Like, the whole thing just smacks of somebody who cannot be trusted and who is very full of themselves telling you a story. And it's sort of a woe is me story. It's sort of a like, oh, my life is so terrible and awful. And da, da, da. I'm like, yeah, I think you might be making a lot of that up. But it's really fascinating. So yeah, I would recommend checking out the video about the movie and see for yourself. And then it's around. It's if you want to watch it, it's around in places. It's on Shudder, and then it's someplace else. So you can too. And yeah, in the US it's called Cemetery Man. So
Cool.
If you'd like us to talk about something else, and I know I would, please email us, themagicaltalkinghead@gmail.com. And in about a week's time, we'll deal with that if you do it. Also, go to the blog. Have you seen any of these movies we're talking about? I'm confident Azure Talon has seen Willy's Wonderland. It just feels like he's seen that. But yeah, tell us your thoughts on the movies. Cemetery Man is sort of a cult classic. I'm curious if anybody else encountered it before. I'm a little sorry I waited so long, except I'm not sorry because, again, I think if you come into this movie not sort of getting what it is, you could really dislike it. It could just seem like a very mean-spirited movie. It's loaded with, like, for example, it's loaded with a lot of things, but it's loaded with a lot of misogyny that seems awful, except very clearly the movie is making meta commentary on the misogynist behavior.
Right.
And sort of if you don't get that going in, it just seems gross.
Yeah.
So yeah, and if you're trying to watch it as though it's a real thing, that it is ridiculous. So yeah, everybody check that out if you want, and do whatever you want. But go to the blog or comment on YouTube. Your feelings on any of the if you've been affected by any of the topics mentioned here today. That's weird. I'm sorry if I triggered something in you, but I don't know how, because we really didn't talk about nothing that matters to anybody. Another one in the can.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. www.thenorthshore.com.